Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you, and happy to welcome to the show our good friend, Father Bill Nicholas, from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, all the way across the country. Good to have you here, Father Bill.
Good to be back with you, Brett.
So we've got this interesting phenomenon taking place across the country. It's been pronounced in the West and in parts of the South. You've had a number of churches targeted for violence, statues of the Virgin Mary vandalized, even some crucifixes destroyed. We've seen some fires take place in some churches. I know that the San Gabriel Mission was a place that unfortunately had a fire. We don't know what the cause of that was, whether it was something suspicious or some sort of an accident that took place with wiring. But nevertheless, whether it's Junipero Serra, Saint Father Junipero Serra, or even U.S. Grant, you're seeing people lashing out, and it's disturbing to me to see places of worship targeted. What's going on here? What's with the hostility towards monuments and churches?
Well, I think it's a general hostility toward all things historical, because you have a very hostile group with great animosity toward the United States or their local communities. And one of the ways of attacking anything is to attack its history. And there's a great deal of history with regard to Christianity. Judeo-Christianity has a entrenched history with the United States. As we know, this is a Judeo-Christian society. And especially in things like the mission in San Gabriel, there's nothing more historical in California, aside from the Native Americans themselves, than the missions here in California. They're very popular tourist attractions. And even when you're talking about things such as the missions, for example, you know, individuals have histories connected with those churches as well. For example, I think I told you when we were just talking a couple of days ago, I was born just three blocks from Mission San Gabriel. And so it's always been a presence in my life. And not only that, but there's a high school attached to Mission San Gabriel. And with the exception of, I think, my mother's older sister, my aunt, both my parents and all of their siblings went to high school at Mission San Gabriel High School. My dad played basketball for the high school. And then on top of that, my mother was principal of the grammar school there for about 3 or 4 years before she retired. So my family has a great history with Mission San Gabriel, even though it wasn't the parish we had growing up. And I know a lot of people in that community who had, you know, they remember they got married there, their children were baptized there, they went to high school or school there. And so it's not just an attack upon the history of the missions, but very much an attack upon personal histories that we have connected with the church, not just in California, but throughout the country, in an overarching attack on the history of this country. It just tends to get very, very personal when they attack religious images, statues, and when tragedies such as this, again, we don't know the cause of the San Gabriel Mission, but it does affect us on a much more personal level when objects of faith suffer tragedies such as this or attacks by demonstrators.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of hostility towards the missions because the mission system has the history, according to some, of forced conversions of Native Americans and missionaries abusing, missionaries abusing the Native Americans and the friars and that sort of stuff. What about that contention, Father Bill?
Well, first of all, let me address that in reverse order. You mentioned the abuse of the Native Americans, and of course, Padre Junipero Serra, Saint Junipero Serra, his history is under a great deal of attack as well. But what many people don't know is the friars did a great deal to protect the natives from the Spanish military that was there. For example, in 1774, there was an uprising of the natives against the Spanish in San Diego. Because of the abuses that the soldiers were having or were engaging in toward the Indians, and especially abuse toward their women. And it actually resulted in the death of a number, but including one friar. Junipero Serra had asked that the friars not get involved, but one did, and he was killed, unfortunately. But in the aftermath of that, Father Serra moved the mission 5 miles inland to get it away from the Presidio. It was, if anyone who knows the history of California, they know that not only the missions, but they were the Presidios, which is where the Spanish military was. Mm-hmm. And Serra moved the mission 5 miles inland to get it away from the Presidio. And then when you look at the other missions throughout California, the later missions, you have Mission San Gabriel, but the Presidio was in Los Angeles. There's a bit of a distance, and we didn't have cars back then. Right here in San Francisco, you have the Presidio, which is near the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Mission is at a complete other part of town, almost halfway past the current city now, over the hills. You had the Mission in Carmel by the Sea, but you had the Presidio in Monterey. So Sarah separated them, and had quite a bit of separation between the Presidio, where the soldiers were, and the Missions, where the Native Americans were. Also, Junipero Serra requested, and it was granted, that soldiers assigned to the Presidio be married men, and they'd be allowed to bring their wives with them, because they'd be less likely to abuse the Indians and their women when their wives are there stationed with them in the Presidio. So Junipero Serra did a great many things to protect the natives as well. As to forced conversions, let's just put it this way. When I hear people say that they believe that the natives were forced or they had to coerce the conversions, when you think about it, it really reflects a very low opinion people have of the natives and their history, whether they're natives themselves and they have that of their ancestors, or people just making the statements about Native Americans in general. Were they so savage that they had to be forced to convert, or were they so naive and childlike that they had to be coerced? Is that the attitude we have toward the people we now say we're standing up for? At the same time, just a few days ago, the Catholic Church celebrated a saint named Kateri Tekakwitha, who was a Native American, a virgin girl from the East Coast. She was a saint of the East Coast.
He fell off. We lost him. All right, we're going to get him back. We'll get you back, Father Bill. We're continuing the conversation straight at. We're due for a news update anyways. It's the Brent Winterbull Show, News Talk, Love 10993, WB. News Talk, 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Continuing our conversation with Father Bill Nicholas. I'm very sorry, Father, that we lost you at the in that last segment. It is good to have you back here on the program. As we lost you, you were just making the point that the notions of forced conversions disregards the sincerity of the desire to be converted if you were a Native American. It means that you really didn't have a say, and it disrespects a decision that those human beings made with their own consciences. You were making that point when we lost you, sir.
Exactly, and you drew the exact conclusion I was eventually going to make, that the fact that we celebrate such saints as Kateri Tekakwitha as a church throughout the world, and especially in the United States here, indicates that many, if not most, when they converted to Christianity, being the intelligent human beings that they were, mm-hmm. knew exactly what they were doing. And yet, many of the people who would protest the history would see them as I said before, so savage that they had to be forced, or such simpletons that they had to be coerced. And yet, just the history itself shows that, in some cases, yes, under the Presidio, the Mission system, if the natives were not baptized, the soldiers were in charge of them. If they were baptized, the priests were in charge of them. So you could perhaps see the appeal of one over the other. And there were no doubt some that, the priest poured the water over my head, and okay, there it was. But at the same time, you can't presume that about every native. And it just plays into what many of these radicals are saying, especially in terms of public policy. We need to have special programs to help the lesser human beings get ahead because they're not as astute as the rest of us. So it's almost like, as you've often said, the fallacy of liberal progressivism, in that, in showing compassion, or their brand of compassion, towards certain groups, they are actually being very demeaning toward them. And here in the history of the missions and of the missionary work throughout the United States, of the Catholic Church and Christianity in general, in saying such things as forced conversions or coerced conversions, you're not really making much of a compliment to the Native Americans you're claiming to defend in objecting to or rewriting the history.
Okay, I want to ask you a philosophical / religious question in this current climate that we're in here, and I don't think I'm going to get you in any kind of trouble. So just trust me on this one, okay? It feels to me that if the outcome of a particular something is cancellation, right? Okay, we tear down the statue of Junipero Serra. We tear down the statue of U.S. Grant. We tear down this monument to Columbus, whatever it is. They can be reminders. They can be educational in a number of ways. Lessons can be taken from a number of things and events in American history. We don't go with a bottle of typo stuff to change what happened. What happened, happened. And there's no changing the fact that what happened in the past has happened. And I guess this is a long way of going to this and saying, you know, Father Bill, to me it feels like if you're just going to cancel everything or shut everything down or not address it, You lose the notion of redemption, right? I mean, that America can redeem itself for stuff it did wrong in the past and can do better in the future. I mean, isn't redemption sort of the whole point of this life we live, that we can do better every day and recommit and change and improve? I mean, you know, am I reading that wrong? Maybe I'm not making any sense, but I just wanted to get your thought on that idea.
No, you're making good sense. And I remember someone who I knew who was also very knowledgeable of politics and very involved was once asked, and of course this was a Republican, was once asked, have you ever thought of running for office? And he answered without missing a beat. He said, I don't think so, because I once got detention when I was in second grade, and you never know what the other side's going to do with that. Where any little thing in anyone's past is going to be enough to bring about what you call the cancel culture. But to the cancel culture, let's just propose this. What would be the purpose of tearing down all memorials to the Holocaust because it was such a horrible thing? Mm-hmm. In a way, we're denying that that happened, and we don't want to deny that that happened.
Right.
In the case of, say, individuals like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, U.S. Grant, and others who were flawed individuals but were still great for their time, mm-hmm. we cancel it not necessarily because we want to deny the slavery, but maybe because we're too afraid that if we look too closely into that history, then we'll realize these men were better than we're tearing them down to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to talk about the greatness of Thomas Jefferson, so we use the fact that he owned slaves, not to excuse it, but we use the fact that he owned slaves as an excuse to not talk about him at all. And that, I think, is the danger of the cancel culture. We cancel out things we don't want to acknowledge mm-hmm. and learn from, such as slavery, such as the experience of the Holocaust, such as the mm-hmm. Other more negative aspects of history, mm-hmm. and instead of learning from them, we just want to ignore them. And in many of these individuals who are not perfect, like you said, there's the issue of conversion, there's the whole virtue of redemption, which we see in the later life of and writings of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, who struggled with the reality of slavery in a society that was based upon individual freedom. That perhaps we cancel them because we're too afraid to get into the real history of it. Another thing is, how many want to just do away with the Constitution because they say it was brought about with slavery, but at the same time, without the Constitution and the safeguards that it put in and the provisions that it put in, we would not have seen abolition happen in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really look at the Constitution closely, they want to say, stop talking about it. I want to say, look at it closely. You actually see a couple of places in the Constitution that, yes, on the one hand, one does protect the issue of, it does address the issue of fugitive slaves in favor of the slave owners. That's called compromise. The other side gets what they want, as you get what you wanted. But there are also other parts of the Constitution that demonstrate that the Constitution slavery was not built into the Constitution. Abolition is built into the Constitution. And you're not going to learn that unless you actually learn the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't going to learn the Constitution if you cancel it.
Wow. I can't think of a better spot to wrap that. Father Bill Nicholas, terrific analysis and a lot to think about in a time when people are more impressed with yelling and screaming and carrying on rather than carrying on a conversation. I appreciate you making time for us. I'm sorry we got disconnected, but I'm glad we got to continue the discussion.
Yeah, good to be back again. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Father Bill. Father Bill Nicholas, Archdiocese of San Francisco. Lots to think about. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 W.